we've been teaching on manifestations of God, and in doing so, we've gone through the 12th and into the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. We're going to go back there to the 13th chapter. In the 12th chapter, we talked about ministries and ministries for how different ministries operate in different ways. And then we have the nine gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit brings, that operate through the entire body as the Spirit wills. We looked down through where it talked about the body and each part of the body. Each part of the body, God will manifest these gifts through, these supernatural gifts. They're supernatural. They manifest in the body and through the body, the entire body. It's not for just ministers, not for somebody that's just in the ministry. Every part, we found out looking in, where Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he talked about the ministry gifts they minister. So the body can do the work of the ministry. And it says, so each part does its share. So because there's supernatural manifestations for the whole body. It's like, that's why I put in there that their statement made from Smith's Wigglesworth. That we're not an ordinary people. The church is not an ordinary people. We got to get out of this thing. We got to get out of the preaching of the past where people would say, well, we're just like everybody else, but we just believe in Jesus. I'm not like everybody else. If I am, I'm not living the life of Jesus. We have to us, if we lack wisdom, we can ask and God will give it to us liberally. We're in a place that we're beyond where normal man does today. People are trying to find answers. One of the great problems we're dealing with today is because even the church keeps looking to the government for answers. Keeps looking at the government. The government don't have the answer. They don't have the... Go down to Washington. My God, those people living in that place down there, my God, they got more demons than a little bit. My words, they bought about 2,000 apiece down there. And they're putting up with that. And they can't see outside of that place. They can't see the world outside of that. They can only see, they see the fixes that, you know, that we're going to bring with government. And it ain't coming from government. The fixes ain't coming. Have they ever? You know, the government's a band-aid place. They try to put band-aid things that keep people happy, you know, till the sore festers. And then they go put something else on it. Put another little bit of anointment on it, but it festers again, and they just keep going and going. I mean, just like, you know, they're always fixing. We're gonna fix Social Security for the 497th time. You know? I'll tell you, they're poor fixers. I wouldn't want them to be my car, auto mechanic. My God, your car, you'd never get to drive the thing. It'd be in the garage all the time. And I'm sure the best of it is they're not the answers. God's the answer to these things. There's wisdom from heaven. And there's one thing that the Lord told Kenneth Hagin back in 1950 and said to him, the only thing that's going to help America is a turning back to God. That's the only thing that can save America. It's a turning back to God. That was 1950. Has America looked like they turned back to God? Hallelujah. I thank God for the people in the nation who have. I'll tell you what. If it wouldn't be for the people in America, which are a remnant, walk with God, I'm going to tell you what, this would be just like hell on earth. You think it's bad? You ain't seen nothing yet. When the church leaves, the world's going to, you're going to see the sewer. It's going to turn into a sewer here. And because it is the life in the church, it's the light in the church that's keeping things going. It's keeping heads above water. The worst, Washington ought to just thank the church every day. They ought to thank, because I tell you what, it'd be under. Somebody, I tell you what, if it wouldn't be for the church, I'll guarantee you this, there would be another nation running Washington in our country. I'll guarantee it would be. But the church, the light that's in the church, has kept the lights on in Washington. Hallelujah. It's a dim light down there, but it still has it going under. Hallelujah. But anyhow, so we're teaching all these lines. One of the things we dealt with last week is looked in the fact because we did the opening up and looking at with the first three verses. that in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, I'm just going to quickly read through them. It says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my life but to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. And then it goes on and we read down through what love is. And one of the things we want to talk about, we talked about last week, is we want to keep the what he's talking about here in its class. Chapter 13 was not in the letter. There was no chapters in the letter. And when we read it, this whole thing's talking about spirituality. Chapter 12 started off talking about God didn't want us to be ignorant about spiritual things. And this whole thing is about spiritual things. It's about spiritual gifts in operation. Here we find out chapter 13 opens up talking about gifts operating through an individual. But it's talking about the fact why the motivation for all ministry, I don't care any ministry, not preachers, any ministry that God uses people to help other people is the basis and foundation is love. That's how it all operates out. If the motivation is not love, then you're in this class that we just read about. This class of people, you can do all those good things. Jesus Christ said himself, he said, ones will come to him and say, Lord, look, I did all these things. They're going to be supernatural things that they did. And he said, we did in your name. And he says, go away, I never knew you. Why? They didn't walk in the motivation of love. They were doing what they were doing for themselves. See, you get it. There's one thing you have to be watch about. There's one thing, as I've always said concerning the areas of money, I used to always say, and I always say this, and I found out it's the truth. If your spirituality don't go at the rate you get money in, you'll follow the money every time. You got to develop spiritually to be able to handle things. Well, it's the same thing. Spiritual gifts and ministry is the same way. If you don't develop spiritually at the rate God is using you and you don't grow enough, you'll end up getting big-headed, thinking God's using you and you're just a darn special. You'll get big-headed. You'll get over into things where you'll end up following after. You'll think that you're special because God uses you in gifts. You're not special. The gifts that God operates through us are not for us. They're for others. They're not for us. They're for others. Now, others manifest gifts that'll bless us. But now we found this out here. It doesn't profit an individual. It's not doing an individual any good ministering gifts. In other words, Christians can literally operate in manifestations of the Spirit and not be spiritually sound. Because he's just going to say, he said, though you do this stuff, Paul's talking about it. He wrote to the church at Corinth and told them, you guys, he said, I can't talk to you guys as spiritual. I've got to talk to you as babes. I can't talk to you guys as spiritual people. And yet he said, you come behind and no gifts. See, gifts of the Spirit are not tied to spirituality. They're tied to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you can, the Holy Ghost can use you and you be a knucklehead. There's a load of them around. Over the years, I've run into them. People who never grew spiritually. Yet God manifests a gift through them and it blesses people. It helps people. But see, they can't measure. And this is why you never measure a person's spirituality based on gifts. Never. I don't care what they have. That is no sign of spirituality. Manifestations of the Holy Ghost are no... God calls people and anoint them. That them, they could be living a lousy life. It's like I could sit here and tell you stories of people that were so messed up in ministry. I could tell you things about people who are alive today. And if I told you, I ain't going to tell you, mention their names. The stuff these people have done. And they walk around, they do gifts, and people follow after them, give them tons of money, and the stuff they've done. The things that are... terrible. What they did to just get money and to do stuff. Things that people have done, involvement with all kind of weirds. Oh man, you name it. What they do in their life, gifts operate through them. So people think, well, they're real spiritual. A gift operates through them. Well, no. It's just whom God chose to use. And see, you have to understand it. See, that's one of the things that I talked about this last week. There's one thing as I saw as a young Christian coming in the church. See, when I first got born again, I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I was a spiritual baby. I didn't know a lot of stuff. But when I got baptized with the Holy Ghost, gifts would manifest to me. I learned how to yield to gifts operating through me. Well, they weren't operating because I was real spiritual. I mean, I was walking in the light I had, but I wasn't real spiritual. And I stop and think today, I think, man, God's amazing. Some of the things that He did through me. But it couldn't have been based on my spirituality because I wasn't spiritual as a baby. So you can't measure yourself by these things. You don't do that. I learned early in that. I thank God I had a good teacher, Kenneth Hagin. I learned early. I taught on gifts of the Spirit in Bible schools and stuff here in the United States and overseas. I've taught this subject of spiritual gifts. And one of the things that I find is a great problem because 99% of ministers are teaching their congregations and the ones that are just, you know, out here, itinerant teachers and stuff, they're teaching, well, you get real spiritual and God uses you. God will use you just because He's looking for somebody to use. There's some people can yield to things. See, I learned early. It's one of the reasons I think I had a benefit because, see, I was involved in sorcery and stuff. I learned about things about spirits and their operations. And when I got saved, I had a great belief in the spirit realm. And I found this out. Most people that come out of regular churches don't know a thing about the spirit realm. And they come over in the charismatic realm and they've never learned how to operate and listen to their spirit. They've never learned. And I did. So I learned to yield to things pretty quick because I learned things. To me, the unseen realm was a real thing. And so I learned to pick up quickly on there. But it wasn't because I was so spiritual. It's just I had learned to do that. The other things I was doing, I learned about the spirit realm. And so when Kenneth Hagin come along and talked about things, and I thought, well, I learned to yield to stuff. And stuff started happening. And you'll find that comes along with people. Some people will really pick up on it quick, learn to listen to their spirit more. And they'll pick up on things very quickly. Other people don't. Well, I began to ask God, what is going on? I said, Lord, we got ministers out here. And I said, Lord, I know them. They're messed up. They're all messed up. Yet you manifest gifts through them. You do all these things. I wanted to know what's going on. Because you hear all this preaching and teaching. You got to get real spiritual. And people are measuring. I say, what's going on? And the Lord spoke to me about it. He said, I don't do that for Him. I do that for the people. He said, the people come to this guy's meetings. He said, they come in faith believing I'm going to do something. And he said, I respond to him. He said, it's not for him. I don't do that for him. Well, see, that's when I learned. Hold it. People are sitting around looking at stuff. And see, this is where people end up following a man. They follow the man. Because he looks good. He's doing things that are so-called spiritual. And some of it is. I mean, I've seen ministers, and I've watched already. I've seen ministers stand up operating under a gift of the Holy Ghost for a while and then yield to a familiar spirit and operate under things. I was shocked to hear, you know, when I was back, this is in the 80s, and Kenneth Hagin made this statement, somewhere around 87, I think it was, somewhere around there, and said, now that was during the time there was a lot of stuff going on here, a move of God here in the United States. There's a lot of things going on here. Lots of things were happening and God was moving. And he made this statement. He said, most of the ministers operating under the word of knowledge are operating under familiar spirits. Well, see, if you just measure things by gifts happening, people need to get spiritual. I learned to know what he's talking about. Ministers, you know? Boy, they know how to prophesy money out of your pocket. they know how to do things. They know how to do people. You know what? A lot of ministers, whether people like to hear it or not, know how to manipulate people. And they know people's lack of knowledge concerning things. And they know how to play to it to get what they want. I'm sorry, but it's true. There's a lot of psychology used. I've sat in services where ministers tried to teach that psychology to other ministers to how to do. Today, you go to a lot of things out here, the seeker-friendly is a lot of psychology. There's loads of psychology in it. How to manipulate people into doing the things you want them to do. We need to be very careful about this stuff. People need to be very, very careful about these things. When Jesus said, they'll come and they'll say, I did this in your name. He's going to say, go away. I didn't even know you. They're talking about miracles happening. He's going to say, go away. I don't know you. Man, that'll shake you up. I mean, I don't want to run into Jesus with that one. And so there is. But I want you to don't ever measure. See, and what could happen, God may use certain people. It's like, you know, God's always operated me in the areas of words of knowledge and different things like that. A lot of things because of the ministry office I stand in. It ain't because I'm spiritual. It just goes with the gift. And because I question God about God, why he called me to begin with. You know, why does he choose whom he chooses? I don't know. And it's just things go with certain ministry gifts, and you'll see that certain things, like I can't imagine that anybody would be a pastor and how you pastor spiritually if you don't have some of these gifts in operation, if they don't work. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how some of these guys do it without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't know what they do. You're going to need psychology. You're going to need something. You're going to need something to get those people, get things over to people. You're going to need something. You gotta sit down and know things. Sometimes you just gotta know stuff. And, you gotta learn to be able to yield to your spirit. But it's really important. The motivation though for the move of God is if we want it to benefit and even benefit people the most is to walk in love. You gotta love people. See, this is one of the things that, we're talking about people praying. They want a move of God. They want a revival. They want this. They want that. But see, one of the things, Mike's talking to the use of the voice today. Too many ministers are using the wrong voice. They look at the people in the world. They hate them. They hate Biden. They hate the government. They hate what the Democrats are doing. Jesus is trying to save them. And people are just running their mouths, cursing the people that God wants to reach. God wants to reach people. And people don't have love for them. We don't have love. We look at, when Jesus came into the earth and died in this earth, everybody was a scumbag. There was none righteous, no, not one. Then one righteous came and gave man the opportunity of salvation. And see, we can't look at these people. We can't look at the people out here from the standpoint of, you know, what they're doing wrong. We can't. We got to look with them as up. Is there a target for God? God wants to reach him. God, you know, what God wants. He don't want him stand before and say, you know, the Christians down there just hated our guts and never told us anything. Or, you know, we don't want to be in that boat. We need to be very careful about what we say. That don't mean we not go along with things that they're going along with, but we need to make sure that we're walking in love, not just being Mr. and Mrs. Critical, which mostly goes on now. It's just being critical. Don't like what they do, but we can't sit around and be just critical about it. We got to walk in love concerning these things. We got to pray for these people that God move in their hearts. We want them to come to Christ. I don't want them to go off in hell. I hate to even think about it. I mean, it breaks my heart to think what Mike's going through, but an eternity lost? Eternity? The lake of fire forever? That is absolutely beyond Mike. I don't have a revelation of that. I can't even think that far. My mind can't conceive the lake of fire for eternity. I mean, it's beyond my mind. And I'm going to tell you what, I wouldn't wish that on Adolf Hitler. It's beyond me to think. I don't know. I guess God never expected us to completely comprehend that on this side, but I just know it's so bad. I mean, to me, it's scary. I mean, to think people are going, human beings, people that were born on the face of this earth are going to go for an eternity in the lake of fire, which burns forever. Tormented. You know, and it sure shoots what a lot of people call the love of God, because today the God loves everybody, so nothing bad's going to happen to anybody or anything. Well, I'm sorry. The lake of fire is the wrath of God. I just can't imagine that God that so loved us. But if you didn't take his son, it's beyond. It's just downright beyond me. It is, it's like, yeah, he loves. But I'll tell you what, there are lines drawn concerning that love. And we need to tell the world, because the world is being lied to by much of the church today. They are being lied and lied and lied to. The church talks about a love that has no judgment in it. There is no such love. That is nothing but flesh they're talking about. Flesh. And many people that are preaching that are in the same category as the people. Oh, they say Christian. They say those things. but they don't walk in the light of it. I'll tell you what. Following the motivation, love, being able to look, you know, sometimes it's hard to love the unlovely. Sometimes your flesh says, Lord, can I slap them, please, Lord God. Lord, use me as your hand of vengeance on this thing or something. You know, Lord, do something. And we see that. But there's one thing is, we can't lose toward people the fact, we can't glory in the demise of the ungodly. Can't do that. And I just heard it's keeping our heart open, especially in these last days. I want a move of God. And what's that move of God for? It ain't to show off the church. It's to show off Jesus as his Savior. It's to show off man, because I'm going to tell you what, this is going to be the last one. This is the last thing. This is the last job, folks. It ain't going beyond this. And so we want to reach beyond, don't we? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we want to walk in that love. And really, that love is really shows forth is really when you're dealing with the unlovely. That's when the pressure's on about walking in love. That's when you'll find, you know what? If your flesh don't bother you much, get in around people that just are really ugly and you need to walk in love. You'll find out about your flesh. It'll rise up on you quick. You'll have to slap it down. The love of God. In verse 8 of 13, it starts off and says this, that love never fails. Now, I want to clarify this because, see, people get on to love never. Well, see, if I walk in love, then everything is going to get fixed. That is it. No, love never fails you. This is talking about us as individuals. We walk in love. It don't fail you. Love will never fail you. You can walk in love toward people and they may never want Christ. They may never. I look at Jesus. I mean, Jesus in the earth, he's love personified. He went far. He died, took the punishment of sin for the entire world. Man, people were really excited, weren't they? Let's kill that dude. But you know what? His love never failed. His love didn't fail. It accomplished what God wanted to do for mankind. It's like, when you walk in love, you can always be assured of this. You did your part. You walked. You walked in love. You did what you could. If you reached out like God told you to do, whether somebody accepts it, somebody don't accept it, don't get over in that thing. You know, God will send you to people, and God will send you to people to tell you to talk to them, and they won't accept the thing you say. But God will send you. He will send you to people. People have this, I see, people get over and get this weird thing. Well, I talked to them and they just wouldn't listen. You know, maybe I missed it. No, you didn't miss it. Because God wants this, that nobody stands before Jesus Christ and says, we didn't know, we didn't hear. God will send to everybody. You know what? Sit down and read the Old Testament. God, prophet, through the prophets, knew Israel was going to reject the Messiah. But he sent him to them, didn't he? He gave them first choice, even though he knew, because God needs foreknowledge. He can't help but know. That's why he's God. See, if you got a God that don't know tomorrow, you ain't got a God. You got a demon. That's what you got. It ain't no God. God knows everything. Even knowing that he was going to send his son to die for Israel, and they would generally as a whole reject him, he sent him. Man, you talk about the love of God. He sent him to ugly. He didn't send him to nice. But he gave Israel first choice. What a God. What a God. Hallelujah. Well, what about the church? Glory to God. See, love will never fail. It won't fail. We need to cry out to God in love for a move of God for the heathen of this nation, for the people that are acting the worst, Lord God. Grace is greater than all our sin. Hallelujah. Grace is greater than all the sin. All of what's going on in our nation, grace is greater. Hallelujah. We need grace. We need God's grace poured out. Hallelujah. And we have the gospel of grace. I want to go on there. We're going to go on and read these things. Because there's really some good insight that we get from this, because you need to understand these things about ministry. See, we're talking about spiritual things. We're talking about gifts and manifestations through the body of Christ. And their operations. That's what this chapter and the 14th chapter are about. This is why he's talking about love. Love's a motivation of ministry. Love is the motivation. If we want gifts to really profit the people and profit the individual, you know, when you do the will of God, you ought to be blessed. You shouldn't be operating gifts and cursed. You want to be blessed. And see, this is the whole thing. God is in the business of blessing the body. He wants the body spiritual. And that's what chapter 12 and 13 and 14 are about. We've done, all the church has ever done is separate these chapters. And that's when they've known very little about God's plan, because the Bible is not written in chapters and verses. They've been wonderful, so we can sit down and find places in the Bible. They did good by doing that, but we should not be reading them like that. We should sit down and read. These are letters to the church. Hallelujah. And they have wonderful revelation when you use them in context. It doesn't mean you, God might not give you a certain scripture out of a certain place to use for something. Fine. But we have missed a lot of revelation out of the scriptures by not reading them just as letters written to a church, by dividing things up. Hallelujah. When you see them together, they just grab you. They'll just show you more about God's plan. So love never fails, it says, but whether there are prophecies, it says they will fail. Now my translation says they will fail. Actually, that's not a good translation of that word, because that word means to vanish away. It doesn't mean to fail. It says the prophecy will vanish away. We want to look, wow, he's talking about ministry here now. And he's talking, whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Now, in other words, he's talking about something that's going on. Because here, he's talking about gifts. Remember, he just got done talking about these gifts operating the body. Now he's going to say, something's going to happen to make this stuff go away. Something's going to happen where this isn't going to work. We're not going to, well, what is it? Well, then he says this, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. Now, we want to understand this about prophecy. People say, well, different things. And people use the term prophecy as preaching, but it's not. Prophecy is not preaching. There can be a prophecy in preaching, but it's not preaching in itself. And so we need to understand that. But he said, but here what he said, we understand, we know in part, we prophesy in part. In other words, we need to come to this place. I may mention this before, and I want to make mention of it here because where it fits. Many times we need to understand this. We may be, our spirits may be born of God. Our spirit, our inner man, has the nature of God and things in it. But our spirit is operating through a body that is dead in sin. A body, and understand about this body. Now, we have the Holy Spirit in us to help quicken this body, but we're not operating in a perfection. We don't. Our gifts, whether we realize it or not, whether people want to admit it, they're tainted. They're tainted through this vessel. You know, this vessel that we're working through. And but understand this, God set this thing up, and God, it just totally amazes me what God's been able to accomplish. It blows my mind. You know, I think sometimes I look back over the years, I sit down with God and say, dear Lord, you did good in spite of me. You really did good. I was always as cooperative. I thought I was doing good, but yet God works things, and you need to know that about yourself. We're dealing with an area, if we know in part, we have a partial knowledge of things. I cannot imagine what it's going to be when we get our new bodies. And I just can't imagine what it's going to be like to have a glorified body. You don't have a hindrance concerning your own human spirit. So that's why when people go to heaven, their body dies here and everybody whines about that. And they're up in heaven and said, boy, those knuckleheads ought to wish they're here. Why? They leave the body. Oh, my words. Now there's an operation of the spirit without the body? You talk about a step up level. See, people don't realize these poor people today that don't think that the return of Jesus is important, and you know, you get in the church world, you know, wow, you know, the church being taken, this is just some folly. They have no understanding. See, the church does not long for the full redemption. We have a problem in the body of Christ. We long for staying here and getting more stuff. We should long, because it is going to be such a phenomenal thing when we no longer have the earth suit and we have an eternal body like Jesus. Then we are going to know Him like He knows us, He says. We only know Him in part now. We can't see it clearly. We're limited by this body and this human thinking and in this realm and our feelings. And all. It limits us. Oh, but I'll tell you what. The limits are going to come off. And it's going to be a huge... I'll tell you, it's going to be the most remarkable thing. Now, you know, there's things that I can see to it from the Word, but I'll tell you what, I don't have a good revelation on it. All I know is, man, it's going to be awesome. When we step out of the flesh, and we're going to be totally spirit, soul, and body in the Spirit. My God. The physical realm and the spirit realm tied together in humans like Jesus Christ can operate in the physical realm. See, that's what God did in Jesus. He perfected the spiritual and the physical. Joined together. Oh, my. And then we're going to know Him. Well, that's going to put on a whole new thinking about things. That's going to be a whole way of thinking. So we know in part. We prophesy in part. See, and understand about prophecy. Prophecy is not the whole thing. See, some people try to take prophecies and make them everything, and they're not. Prophecies are parts of information, parts of revelation. They always tie to other things. We get pieces. And sometimes as time goes on, I can see this as certain things have been said years ago, and I can see some things that were prophesied later on, and you tie together. I also see some prophecies in the past were clearer about the future than prophecies that are said here in recent times. The prophecies in the past spoke clearer to the future. See, they're saying that's what we need to be and need to see these things and understand the things that are said. Parts are here, parts are there. It's just like this Bible. It's full of parts from different generations. But man, when you put the parts together, that's why you sit down. As any good teaching of the Bible will tell you, you know, you don't ever found a doctrine on one scripture. That it anything that could lay out as a foundation of teaching of Scripture, you'll find the principle through the whole Bible. You won't find a little verse sitting out here somewhere and a little verse sitting. And people are doing that today. They're taking a verse and trying to build a doctrine off a verse. I'll tell you, you're going to end up deceived. That's a good way to get deceived. The principles, the foundational principles and doctrines of the Word are all established through the Scriptures. I can take any principle of the New Testament and I can show it to you in the book of Genesis alone. See, God knows the end from the beginning. He already laid out, in Genesis, lays out what the end was going to be. It's laid out in the book of Genesis. And so you go see those things. See, God knows what He's doing. He's smarter than us. Hallelujah. So we know in part, and it says, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. That which is perfect. Now, there are the teachings, and I've heard this among people. The people, especially who are not spirit-filled, they believe, well, there's many of them believe that what's perfect is coming. They say, we got the Bible, we got perfect. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I'd like to ask, well, how's your perfect life working? I mean, I don't know how they even think there. What perfect come? Actually, the word there through the Scriptures, you look that word up, it's translated perfect many times. Lots of times it's translated perfect, and it actually is talking about being mature. It's not talking about perfection. Factually, it means coming of age. When a person comes of age, and we're going to find out because he talks about that later on here, about being a child, not thinking as a child. Coming of age, in other words, there's a coming of age. There's a fulfillment coming that is going to be, we could use the word perfection, it's coming, when Jesus comes and the church gets the full redemption. When the full redemption comes, we will no longer need the gifts of the Spirit. They will come to an end. But while you're here in the earth, you and I need them. You and I need them here, but there's a perfect that is coming, and that's when we will get our full redemption. Jesus Christ returns for the church. We're called up together with Him in the clouds to be forever with the Lord. Hallelujah. Comfort one another with these. Well, I want to comfort you this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We got good news in the future. Hallelujah. There's something wonderful coming, and we're living in the days of that coming. So, understand, we don't minister in perfection in this life. We don't. We minister in parts. We minister in part. Actually, it's like this. There is things that I've seen this over time where God's given me revelations. I had a vision, as I've used and talked about this, when I was first got born again, I had this vision because I asked the Lord a question. about man, why him knowing everything, why did you create man? You knew they'd sin. And I was just a young baby Christian. I don't know if I was even 6 months old as a Christian at that time. But I asked him the question. See, I'm very inquisitive of God. I ask. See, some people say, oh, you shouldn't say things like that to God. I'm sorry. You ain't going to ever learn nothing. You know what? Because the Bible says this. Ask and it'll be given to you. God says God knows what you need before you ask, but don't say he's going to give it to you. If you don't ask, you don't get it. If you aren't a questioner of God, you don't end up with much. I found that out. I asked questions. I wanted to know. And I had a vision. And to me, the vision, what only took place, it seemed like a split second. But it's like all this revelation came in that second about God's plan for man. And then the Spirit of the Lord said this when I was done. He said, man is my key to put sin away forever. Man is my key. See, man's God's key. Hallelujah. But in seeing that, to this day, I don't have words to explain what I saw. See, I'm limited on this side in knowledge because, see, we can only explain. It's like a teacher. A teacher can't explain things any further than he has examples to use to try to explain comparison so people can understand. You don't have it. And there's things that God reveals. It's like I said, I cannot fathom what eternity forever. I don't have nothing to compare it to. There's nothing. People say, well, you look out at the stars and it goes forever, ever. I'm sorry, that ain't a good one. That does not get it. But there's things, we just can't see it. We're limited. I will guarantee you, when we get the new suit, eternity is going to be the norm thing. Why? See, eternal life is not living forever. It's the life of God. God don't live in time. It's going to be wonderful when we get the new suit and time ends for us. Time ends. Did you ever think about that? You get the new suit, time ends. We're limited in time here. You step out of this, you leave time. Wow, it changes. Einstein even figured it out. He knew that you change anything with time, it just, boy, things get really different. When you think about it, you travel some space, the speed of light, and you come back and time has passed here in this planet. And see, the Bible says, see, God made comparisons in the natural. Really, that was a revelation of God. Should have been to the church, and the church was too dumb to take it. Some have, but he once showed us, see, God is light. God, who is light, is not affected by time. Yet, the light that he shines on, those people are affected by time. That's us. We're affected by time. But his end result is we won't be affected by time. Hallelujah. We're going to have a redemption. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Not affected by time. So we don't minister. We're ministers. We don't minister in perfection. All gifts on this side are in part. They're imperfect in their operation through us. Now, why love is so important as this is because love is eternal. God is love. God don't have love. God is love. There's a big difference between having something. He shed the love of God apart in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's something we have. Something that was given to us. But we're born of the nature of God. Love is our nature. Love is the nature of the Christian. See, I think in some ways it's been taught wrong. It's trying to get people to walk in something that's not natural to them. Love is natural to us. It's our nature. You can't be born of somebody. And if God is love, I have to have love. I mean, that's got to be my nature. A seed produces after its kind. That's what it does. You don't plant corn in the ground and get soybeans. You don't get something else. And see, start thinking about that. My nature is to walk in love. That's my nature. It's not, you know, when you think of, see, how we think of it could determine a whole lot of how we're able to walk in something. When we're thinking we're trying to go to this place and do this thing, and think, no, love's my nature. The nature of the flesh is to be selfish, self-centered. That's the nature of the flesh. See, that's not your nature. Paul wrote to the church at in Rome and told them, he said, that you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God is in you. And then that's when he went on to say, the same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, dwelling in you, quickening and making alive your immortal body. He said, you're in the Spirit. See, you're in the Spirit. Your nature is to love. That's what it is. It's just, that's your nature. As living outside your nature. As the Lord spoke to me years ago, and he said this to me, he said, my people live a life of a lie. Many of them. And I thought, whoa, where is this coming from? He said, they live and talk like not like they really are. He said, I create them in my image. I made them like me. I mean, and he said, they're walking around down here talking and everything else like they're not like me, like they're trying to get like me. And he said, they're like me. He said, they're living a lie. They're down there trying to become, here's what he said, they're trying to become something they already are. You can never become what you are. You'll work your entire life trying to becoming what you are and will never arrive at what you are because you're still looking for what you are. You haven't got there yet. You are. See, the Bible says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're not trying to get there. What you want to do is live that righteousness on the outside. Well, that don't mean you aren't righteous. That means you're just working. You're working to get your flesh to cooperate with righteousness. That's what you're doing. But you're right. The real you is righteous. You're working through this imperfect thing on the outside that keeps fighting against this thing on the outside called your body that we cherish so much and pat and pet and do everything we can to try to keep it so happy. And we don't want this thing to be a discomfort in anything. We just were trying to work, doing all this thing to this thing. And you ever notice? You can't keep it happy. I gave that up a long time ago. You can't keep this stupid thing happy for nothing. You can get blessed all week by God, but by the end of the week, something bad happens, you're whining. You ever been there? If you haven't, we'll have an altar call for liars to get you saved. Hallelujah! It's good. We've all been there, haven't we? We know about the flesh. But see, talk about what you are. This is what God says you are. I was one of the things, we had a lot of teaching back in the 80s and in the early 90s about who you are in Christ. A lot of teaching in that area was really good. And because a lot of people, it raised them up spiritually. It brought people up on a different level. Now, it made the religious people very unhappy. People didn't like that. These people, who do they think they are? Well, they think they're a child of God. You talk about it as something you're going to be one day, they really believe it. They think they got there already. They're living and walking in a place. And see, religion don't understand this stuff. Religion will speak against it. I guarantee you, you know, there's people that will, if they listen to this thing, I've had people do that. Oh, I'm right. I preach heresy. And I say, well, you know, go along. They can say anything they want. I don't care. It don't matter. I feel sorry for them. They heard it and they decided they don't want what's good. They want to follow religion. They want to follow their religious beliefs. Well, they can. They have that right. I have the right to walk where I want to. And they do too. But so we operate in an imperfection here. But still God operates. See, don't get over the limit. You gotta be careful of how you deal with yourself. You can stop yourself from your spiritual development by getting, critical of your human limitations. But you have them. it's amazing how God uses people. It just blows my mind. It amazes me what God does. So, keep yourself over in there, understanding. You understand in part. Now, the 11th verse says here, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. See, compared to the perfection that's coming, we're really operating at a childish level. We are. And we need to understand that. Many things. I can find this out. I've seen it in people already where, you know, your spirituality, what you got on the inside, can be so hampered, it's frustrated. Trying to work it through to the outside. You can get very frustrated in that. I was a young Christian at first. I thought, I got over into some things of the Spirit, and you're doing that, and I realized the opposition I was having from people about it. You know, because I was young, and I just thought, boy, you know something about God, and God wants to do something. And, you know, you think everybody's just tickled that, you know, God's going to manifest a gift through you and does something. Well, I found out that wasn't true at all. I thought people really got offended when God started moving. There's people get that. It is. Well, look at Jesus. You know? He goes in. Somebody gets healed on the Sabbath day. They'd rather have sick people and dead people rather than God heal because they have Sabbath. But understand why they did that. They did what the church has done today. They went and have turned, the Jews turned around and made, gave healing to the doctors, and that was theirs, and that's why they considered it work. It's a labor. They had given up healing from God, and they did it just like today they do it. The body of Christ is based up, give up all healing. They said doctors are gifts given to, from God. I can't find one of that says in the Bible, but they made that one up. You know, all the stuff that we do around with our intellect, that don't mean God gave it. God gave us a brain to think and develop stuff. And thank God for the wonderful things people have been able to do. But is it like in a church world? I've been in churches where offended that people got healed. There's people who went to meetings and got delivered. People who came out of wheelchairs and their church they went to was upset about it. Well, that had to be the devil. I've told people this already. If God won't heal me, the devil will. I'll go to God. I'll go to the devil. I said, if God's got that ornery and that good. You know, we lock people up in jail for mistreating their kids. Why would somebody that could heal not want to do it? If my child gets sick and I just let him get sick and die and I won't take him to the doctor, they'll lock me up in jail. And then we tell God loves you and he kills you for a reason. He's trying to get to you for some reason. See, you gotta, see, that's why with your own nature, you know, we have to get over things. You follow your nature and the inside. You know, you'll see people get blessed sometimes and you think spiritually they shouldn't. But God blesses them. You learn to need to smile. Thank God. People get blessed. Hallelujah. They may be more spiritual than you think. I'll tell you what. I've known people over the years could get healed. People who, really, there's things about their life wasn't always the greatest. But I'm going to tell you, they could get healed at a snap of a finger. You know why? They knew how to operate in faith. The people that were always so religious, they're always trying to use their religion to get healed. I go to church, I do this, I do that, God ought to do this for me. I do all these things. God don't heal because you go to church. God don't heal because you tithe. There's one thing you'll find the key of things. You can't be a person that holds resentment and stuff against other people and things. You want a showstopper? That'll be the things. You hold resentment and things against people. That's the only thing Jesus ever mentioned concerning faith. When he did in Mark 11, 23 and verse 25, if you have anything against your brother, go get it corrected. Before you give your offering, go do that. Get that fixed. Why? The offering ain't doing no good. You can't bring that one before me. Get it fixed. See, the walk of love. You always want to keep the walk of love going down. No matter what people do to you, you got to learn to not hold resentment. Can't hold things against people. You know, if Stephen getting stoned could say, don't hold this sin against their charge. You know, I ain't had that one happen yet. So I have no excuse. Okay, God, don't hold that one. No, God, go get them. Oh my, have you ever been there? We put away. He said, now this one, this is the Apostle Paul writing. Now this is, Paul understands his limitations as a ministry. He said, for now we see through a mirror dimly. But then, see this one is, the perfect comes. He said, then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. See, ministering love gets rid of the big head. I'm not special. I'm not getting off it. Look, I know in part. Thank God he uses me. Thank God he does through me. What I do and just walking in love with it. God uses me. God gets an opportunity to do something through me. Wonderful. That's good. Hallelujah. It's nobody, you know, any gifts of God operating through people, we can't take credit for it. It wasn't us. It wasn't us that did it. It was him. We can't take credit for it. I mean, I can't take credit for my salvation. You know, I see people try to do that. Well, you know, when I found the Lord, you never found the Lord. He found you. You never found him. I can say this with the truth. I wasn't looking for God when he came for me. And he came for me. And he started, he didn't come and pat and said, you cute little thing. I've been always wanting to know. He came and put me under conviction of my sin. He put me under conviction of what my family was going to end up in hell because of me. Boy, that was a fun thing. Have somebody come and tell you that. But you know what? He did that because he loved me. He was showing me I wasn't just destroying Ed. I'm destroying others. See, Christianity has lost this thing about what the life of sin does to others, not just to themselves. This is one of the things that I've learned, and I've said this. You've heard me say it many times. I follow God for other people. There's a day and time I came for me. But you grow. I came out of the childish things. I follow God for other people. I'm all right. I'm going to heaven. I'm good. I don't need saving. If I drop dead today, Ed goes to be with Jesus. What an awful thought that is. But you know what? There's others ain't in the same shoes. There's others. There's others that don't have that. See, we need to guess what love does. Love looks out. Love sees beyond your own eyes. And you know, most people's eyes are inward looking. You got to get the outward looking eyes. That's why we follow Jesus. We follow Jesus for other people, not for ourselves. He said, now I know in part, but then I shall be known just as I'm known. Wow. I'm going to know just as I'm known. I'm going to. That's a powerful thing. I'll guarantee you, the average Christian in this earth don't even know themselves. They don't know where they are spiritually inside. They don't know. They talk about belief and that things, but they don't know where things come along. And they don't know whether they're believing or not believing. You got to learn to know yourself. You got to know where you stand and where you are, knowing yourself. If anything is a key as a Christian, you got to know where you are on the inside. That's where faith comes from. You can't stay in faith and not know where you stand on the inside. That's an impossibility. Faith of the heart. You can make as many confessions as you want, but confessions not made from the heart don't produce any. What's my heart believing? What does my heart really believe? For with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It starts with the heart. See, you got to know yourself. You got to know the real you. You got to know what you are on the inside. You got to know your strengths and your weaknesses if you don't. See, many people don't know that. I see this all the time in people. There's things that I know they should be studying in the Word. They don't. You can see the weakness in an area. Yet they never. They're always looking for something else. They're always looking in a search for something else. Because they don't know themselves what they really need on the inside. What they really need to hear. What they really need. And that's important. Now, in chapter 13 ends. Isn't for chapter 13, they gave 13 verses to it. I don't know if that's something. I don't know. Was that an unlucky number? I don't know. Anyhow, and now abides faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And really, they use the term here, and he called the greatest, and many translations use the term greatest. But it's thinking of this fact. Because people sometimes see this, and I've heard people say it. Well, if you have love, you don't need the other, you know, like, look, you can't please God without faith. So just saying I'm going to walk in love. If you're going to truly walk in love, you're going to be a person of faith. Or you don't know a thing about love. Because I'm going to tell you what, I will guarantee you this. You let somebody treat you bad, you're going to better have to get using your faith. Because you're going to have to believe in this love thing. You better know how to use faith. Or you can't walk in love. Love requires faith. Love is the foremost of all. I like is what some writers have done, and they're really good. They say there's three great things, and the greatest thing of these is love. Of the three great things, they're all three great. Number one, if you don't have hope, you'll never come to faith. Faith is the substance of the thing you're hoping for. Many times people don't have a hope in a situation. They're trying to believe God. You got to have hope first. God will always bring you hope. Hallelujah. Then you're at the place where you can take that hope and see what the Word says, and that'll take a hold of it, and it takes you away from hope and brings it to a reality. Hallelujah. This belongs to me. Hope is looking for it. Hope wants to get it, and faith lays a hand on it. Hallelujah. And faith and love will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we want to walk in those areas. We want to stay in the areas of love. I've heard people say, well, you know, these others aren't important. Well, we'll go over next time, and we're going to go into chapter 14, because chapter 14 is a continuation of this chapter. It's a continuation. It's going to talk about gifts that operate, that manifest through the Spirit in the church, of how to use them, how to be spiritual, how to keep a spirituality in the church, how it doesn't get out of hand. See, gifts can get out of hand. People can get over, and it's keeping them. When most people say decent in order, what they mean is that is be dead. That's decent in order, like a graveyard, you know. You go out there and ain't much action going on out there. That's decent in order. But that's what it is. It was how you use gifts, and we're going to find out, because if you understand the things of love, you're going to go over, and if paid attention to that, when we go over to teaching gifts in the church, it deals with the manifestations in the church is for the edification of the body. In other words, it's love toward other people. You don't do things that other people don't understand or cooperate. You want to keep it over in the area where people get blessed and helped. That's what you want to do. That's what it's about. So we'll go over there and look at the things that are said, because we can find a lot of wonderful things. When you put all of these things together, this is about ministry. And so you want to understand things. Meditate on these tribes. God desires to move through the Spirit on everybody in the body. He wants to. And He wants to manifest things for you. You're an important part of the body. It's every part, you know. They've gone along over the years and they're saying certain parts of the body that didn't have use. And here's some years ago, I was reading about certain things they said didn't have use. And now they're finding out, oh, they did. And we took them out. Why? Because we know in part. But lots of times people get educated, they don't think that. They think they know it all. But we only know in part. Hallelujah. And there's nothing wrong that you know in part. There's nothing wrong with that. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with you that you don't know everything. I learned from Kenneth Hagin. He said, you know, if a person thinks he knows everything, and another one, he said, well, there's things he'd say, we need to have an altar call for a liar and get you saved. Nobody knows it all. And we know in part. But you know what? I found this about the parts that God gives us. He gave us so many parts, and I haven't learned all of it He's given to us yet. There's a lot more that we can learn here, we can develop in. There's some things I can see from afar off, but I've learned this over the years. Some things it takes you time of development. I used to think like this, you tried to walk in things you saw at a distance, but you really didn't know all you needed to know you could walk in it. And what happens is you try to walk in it, and it don't work. You try to walk in that thing and say, no. It ain't working. What's wrong? God, why did you do this? Or God, why? It wasn't God at all. It was a matter of revelation. And over time, and see, it takes time for maturity. It takes time. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing weird with you that it takes time to mature. We don't take a one-year-old and expect them to do what the six-year-old does. It takes time. It takes time of development. Spiritual things are the same way. It just takes time of development. That became a hard thing for me when I first started off, because I was learning things, and I was learning about stuff, and I had a lot of information, but I didn't know how to make it work, because I didn't have enough skill in doing it. See, there's skill in learning to do the Word. It's just like any job you go on to, it takes, somebody can tell you everything you need to know. So there's time in a job, they can tell you in 20 minutes what you need to know in the job, but it may take you weeks and weeks on end to learn to start to be able to do that with any kind of consistency and be half decent at it. Why? Because practice, that old saying, practice makes perfect. There's a lot of truth there. See, many people, we're in an informational society and we live in an informational church, and most Christians have a lot of information and no good sense. They're babies. They can tell you all kind of things, but they can't do it. They don't have experience. And that was one of the things I was always very grateful with Kenneth Hagin, because he always emphasized the experience. He said he never taught things that he had not ever put to practice and proved that they worked. He wouldn't teach them. The average minister today teaches loads of things that they have never put into their life. And that's why there's no confidence or conviction that grabs the people in the church. You have to be at the place where you know what you're talking about. You're not just throwing words out there. They're nice things. The book's full of information. And there's full of things I have questions about it. I've read 187 times and I still read them and think, I wonder what he meant by that. I could see a little of it, but I don't know. This thing just don't fit. It don't matter. Just having information is not enough. Being able to practice to do it, because the doer of the word is the blessed one. The doer. And that's what, do what you know to do. That's where the blessing of life comes from. It's doing what you know to do. What you don't know to do and don't know how to do, you can't do it. Now you can put things, now when you start putting things into practice, it is amazing to me how God would bless me. When I look back, I think, oh man, how immature I was in it. But I was learning to develop, you know, I was trying to do, you know, what I understood of it. But over time, it perfected. Over time, I learned more as I went along, and I started getting good at putting it in practice, how things worked. I never realized there's certain things of Scripture. I never even understood them to their fullness till I learned how to operate in it. Then I started to see, it's like, you know, it wasn't the way I thought at first. See, our mind just thinks about things according to what we know around us and stuff and things. And lots of times spiritual things can really turn out to be a different thing. Once you learn how to see it operate, you stop and say, oh my words, God was trying to work that thing in me a long time ago. I didn't know how to yield to it. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't understand. Now I can see through practice of things. Now I know what to do. So you all go through that. Everybody goes through. We know in part. And we prophesy in part and everything else in part. Hallelujah. God's working through us. In closing here, before we take our offering this morning, I want to say this to you. God just sort of emphasized, Mike and Darlene have talked about there. You guys are listening to Keith Moore's Healing Ones. It's through his church. Are you doing through the faith school? Yeah, faith school. Keith Moore has the church is Faith Life Church, Branson. There's Faith Life Church, Branson. If you go on to it, they have what they call faith school. And which is really good. I'm going to tell you, faith is an important subject. Can't please God without it. It's the only fight we're ever talked of. The Bible says we're supposed to be in. But he has here, I think it starts at number 32. If you go down through to him, he has each one of them listed, all this thing. From 32 to 78 are teachings on healing. Now, Keith Moore is an excellent Bible teacher. He is an excellent teacher. And especially in the area of subject to faith. So, what does that make? 40 some? It's like 46 or so. So like 46 teachings on faith. Now I want you to understand this. Kenneth Hagin said this. He said the subject of faith, just faith itself, just talking about faith. He said you should at least have about 35 sessions to actually cover just the subject of faith pretty good. Most people heard 35 teachings on faith, but it was the same one. And they know very, yeah, I'm sure most people don't know. They don't know the ups and downs of it. They don't know about the causes why faith don't work. And they don't know those things. They've never sat through enough teaching. And that's what Kenneth Hagin used to say about there's things, stuff that you got to dig into of why things are working and why things don't work. You need to dig into them. You need to find out. And, but anyhow, there's one thing that you need to, Satan is attacking people like crazy, their health. He's doing things left and right to people. You need to bring healing to the forefront of your life. The easiest way to wipe Christians out is health. That's the easiest thing. The devil, he's got that target and he knows it. Because they don't know as much about the subject as they like to think they know. See, I listen to stuff all the time. I mean, I'm listening again for the, I don't know how many times of Kenneth Hagin's one series I have of his on healing. I'm listening to it again. I listen to these things all the time. And you know what? They help me all the time. They help me all the time. Because one thing, I know in part. I start listening, I don't know how many times. I couldn't even tell you. I mean, like sometimes I go for months on end and listen to a series over and over. I listen parts every day. I'll listen to some of it. And I listen to series. And I'll just do it for months on end. Just listen to it. And I'll go back and listen to it again, and I said, man, I never heard that before. I just listening to his thing this week, heard two things. I said, I can't believe I don't ever remember hearing him say that. I don't remember that. I went, got my MP3, looked clear, looked out. I'm going to go check this thing out. Maybe somebody stuck another one in it or something. I don't know what happened here, but I don't remember that one. But anyhow, I want to tell you about that. You get these teachings. I'm just going to be honest with you. Every day you should be listening to something on healing. Every day. The Lord Jesus told me this when I first got born again. He dealt with me with the subject of healing. That was the first major subject that he dealt with that after he dealt with me about my family life and getting my life straight for my family. Then he started teaching me on healing. And he said this to me. He said, the number one thing I want for my people is to be well. He said, the devil keeps them from doing my will because he keeps them sick. So they can't go do my will, and he keeps them poor. They have to, all their money goes, We take America. How much money goes for health in America? America could pay its debt off in nothing, flat. The healthcare system is... And we need to know that as Christians. And that's why continually feed yourself in that area. It's important. It's a battle we're constantly dealing with. And people usually only get into it when something happens. And I'm just going to tell you that. Most of the time, it's too late. It's most of the time it's too late to get divine healing. The person hasn't got themselves in a place of standing where they can get it. See, there's a difference between healing and going to the doctor. As I learned this from Kenneth Hagin, and I found it's true, people get over and get into a serious thing and end up dead because they don't have time. They're good Christian people, nice people and everything. But see, what they think's important in life. I've learned this. I'm 72 years old. And man, I get around people my age, and I'd think, my God, they're 92 and I'm 27. But see, and I'm not knocking on sin. It's like, this is an important thing. You know, I should be some kind of example to a generation behind me. I shouldn't be getting older and be a weight on their neck. You're all going to get older. You think you're going to live forever. Ain't happening. Paul said about this body, this thing's deteriorating. And it is. And you need something to keep it alive. And I'll tell you, lunch ain't going to do it. You got to keep this thing working. You got to keep it. Thank God for lunch. I like lunch. But lunch ain't going to do it, folks. Getting the Word of God in you. Getting that life that's in you. What Jesus provides. If healing was so important that it was in the cross. It was in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. How can we say, hey, the sin thing, but let's throw that one out, throw it to the side. Isn't it as important? God thought it was so important that your health be tied right to that cross and your deliverance from sin. Hallelujah. He didn't just want to deliver you from sin. He wanted to deliver you from all the things that sin caused in your life. Do it every day. So you go in there and you got teaching. I guarantee you, he'll good teaching. It's one thing, it's two, is when somebody takes the time to teach it, they build things one upon another. And cover, when they get to cover a lot of area, and I figure it, I think it's like 40, 60 or something like that. They'll cover a lot of area. But if you just sit down, say, why not? You know, we talk about tithing, just giving money. Can you give God an hour a day? If you can't, you're not a tither. You're not a tither. You just give money. Hey, money ain't going to do for you and you're giving money. What other things can give to you? Take the time. Man, your health, my health's worth the time. My health is worth the time. Thank God. I mean, I've been fortunate and blessed in my life. I've been attacked and I know what it is to get attacked. And I've learned this. I like health. I'm not keen on the pain thing. I'm not big on that one. I'm not like, well, I could just bear right through it. That's just, I'm a tough guy. I say, no, let's get it off of me quick. Let's get rid of this, you know. I'm tired of limping, man. You know, I'm tired of my neck hurting me. I'm tired of this. It's getting over there. Take time to listen to put it into you. Hallelujah. You know, just through the days in my car, it's in my car. I listen to it, going to places and that stuff. And I just, you know, listen to it. Get always have something, you know, you're listening to, continually building yourself up. Why? Because there's loads of demons that are trying to tear you down. You might not see them with your eyes, but I'll tell you, they've taken a foothold in the church world like crazy. And I just encourage you to get yourself over where, hey, we're going to sit in this thing here. I'm going to take my medicine every day. Every day. That's what you're doing. Take medicine. Word of God is medicine to all your flesh. Health to all your flesh. In fact, the literal translation is, Hebrew translation is medicine. It's medicine to your flesh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you know, if you have something, ailment or problems or anything like that, don't get into condemnation. Take your medicine. Don't get over in that thing, you know, and get over there and that's the place. Just keep taking your medicine. You sit down and you keep listening to the Word, good teaching. And there's one thing is I know Keith Moore, Brother Hagin used to use him in the prayer and healing school at Rhema there. He used to teach in there and that stuff. And I sat under his classes, the teaching on the Holy Spirit and that stuff. I sat under some of his classes excellent Bible teacher, really an excellent Bible teacher. And so take your time to sit down. I mean, you got all this free stuff out here. You know, I will tell you, this will happen. People are going to stand before Jesus and didn't say they didn't know stuff. And he's going to say, hey, hold it. All this stuff was there for you to know. You didn't go after it. You didn't want it. Keith is a very gifted. I mean, a very, very gifted man. I mean, God used him powerful for me at Rhema. I had questions. I'd ask God questions about certain things I wanted to know. I'd go to class and I'd sit in Keith's class. Keith would be teaching on a subject and all of a sudden he'd stop and say, I don't know why, but he said, this just keeps coming up to me, and he'd give me the answer to what I asked God. He would just say it. He would tell certain things I was asking God about. Then he'd go back over the subject, teach again. But see, we get people who are keen to pick that stuff up. People are gifted in that area. They're a huge blessing in that stuff. Over the years, God's led me a lot of times, even in certain places sometimes the Lord has sent me to listen because they want to teach on a subject of things I've been asking the Lord about. And so I go, and there's the answer. See, sometimes we're waiting for God to give us specifically the answer. He doesn't. Many times God gives us the answers through a ministry gift, one who's a teacher. See, this is why we have today a lot of people don't get their answers and don't get their stuff, because people don't take much time. Like, we used to go to church and go to listen to stuff, going to hear different teachers and ministries. People don't do that anymore. They're not taking the time to do it. People say, well, we can do this. We have so much, there's so much good teaching. There's a lot of lousy teaching out here, but there's loads of wonderful teaching that's going on that you can go and listen to. Is take the time. Ask God. I get at times God will start to move in me in a certain thing to go listen to this. Even like I have a book that I've read lots and lots of times. And I have a question about something. The Lord say, go read that book. Go read that book. And I think, that must just be me. You know, because that book don't have my answer. You know, I know what that book, I know what's in that book. And then I'll go get the book. And I'll start reading it after I've gone for 3 weeks and disobeyed him. And then I'll go get the book and start reading. My God, right there's my answer. That was God. Oh, I know, that's just me. You guys never have that problem. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, you know, it's one of the things is we do in our opening song here with God is here. But God is not just here at this point. God is everywhere. Now, as believers, we have Him in us, but His presence is everywhere. God's healing power is everywhere. It's always present, always. I want you to get yourself, that's really a revelation to you. His healing presence, His wisdom. I was just thinking about it. He put the Holy Spirit in you. I mean, there's one who lives in you that has all the knowledge of God. Now, we know he couldn't tell you everything. You'd be like a computer. You just overload it and goes tilt and it blows up. But he's inside of you. Think, get these things in you, that God is inside of you. God is bringing you, God will bring you wisdom. There's wisdom that you need. It's always there. It's not something that you're trying to get from out in heaven someplace. Healing power. We're not trying to get God to send healing power from heaven. Healing power's in earth. Because why? He's here. It's here present with us. It's here present. Given that knowledge, you know, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. He'll quicken, makes alive your mortal bodies. Get into that knowledge of thinking concerning health and healing. Get in that to you. That you're not trying to find something that God has that it's not within your reach. It's already in your hand. It's already in your hand. Just, you know, it's like the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I found this out over the years of ministering people. People would come and they go through the things of, they want to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And then they'll go through the thing of, well, you know, they're asking God to give them the Holy Ghost. And I say, well, why are you asking God? He sent the Holy Ghost already on the day of Pentecost. Your job is to receive the Holy Spirit. He ain't going to send him. He's already here. See, that's what people are taught. We're trying to reach out there to God to get what He's already given. And that's when He told me, that's living a life of a lie. See, you're praying for something that's already here. He said, I have it for you. Come here, take it, take it. It's no different than if I'd take this Bible and I'd go, here, take this Bible. Well, see, He has to take it, no matter how I hold it there, if He don't take it. And He'd say, well, you know, I didn't get a Bible. You know, everybody else got a Bible, but I didn't get one. You know? Yeah, it was right there. It's we take it. And faith is the hand we take it with. Faith is just a hand. Thank God. I remember I was just a baby Christian. And I remember, you know, hearing Kenneth Hagin talking about just receiving the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget. Went to my bedroom because, you know, they talk about people laying hands on people. And I thought, well, I can get this thing. I'm going to my bedroom. And I went to my bedroom and I just knelt down with the bed and thanked God. Thank you for filling me with the Holy Ghost. And you know what I felt? Nothing. But I thank God. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Thank God He filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I can speak in other tongues. And you know what happened? I started talking in other tongues. And you know what my mind said? That's just a bunch of gibberish. What are you? You're just making that up. That's what my mind told me. And so I fought with that for a few days. And one day I was sitting at lunch in H.B. Reese Candy Company, sitting at lunchtime in the cafeteria. And God spoke to me. I'll never forget. I'm sitting at a table and I'm going through this and my mind keeps telling me, and I'm sure the devil was there too, telling me, no, you know, you're just making gibberish. You're not doing anything. And the Spirit of God said this to me. He said, if you're not doing anything, why is He bugging you so much about it? Man, that settled with me. I said, I'm going to talk in tongues all the time now. So, I'll tell you, if it bugs the devil, I'm going to do it. It's one thing, he wanted to keep me away from that, him and some preachers. Don't do that, that's the devil. They didn't realize they were the ones after the devil. Don't do it. Hallelujah. Thank God what it did for me. Amen. But get conscious. God's around you all the time. He's in you. He's around you. Healing power is always, always available to you. You're not trying to get it. See, you listen to the word. This is one thing I say, like listen to Keith, because he'll teach you how to receive, not trying to get God to give. He'll teach you how to receive what God has already given. You can't receive anything from God unless He's already given it. Faith can't receive anything that's not been already given, because it wouldn't be faith. Hallelujah. All the blessing of God, all the truth. So then whenever you look in the Word and the Bible tells you what God's given, all my words, you can get just so happy and smile. Glory to God. I'm not trying to get this. It's given. See, when it says you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, I'm already blessed with it. Hallelujah. Everything God has spiritually has already been given to me. I'm not trying to get it. What I'm trying to do is find out about it. That's all I'm doing. I go to the Word to find out about all this He gave to me. It's already mine. It's on my account. Anytime I get the knowledge of it, I can reach out and take it. Now that belongs to me. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. Father, we just want to say thank You this morning. Thank You for life. The life that we have in the Spirit. Lord God, I thank You that we're spiritual people. Hallelujah. We're born of the Spirit. Lord God, we even have the Holy Spirit inside of us. Hallelujah. Inside of us, bearing witness to us today that we're children of God. We belong to You, Lord. Hallelujah. We're Yours. Hallelujah. Jesus, You paid the price and we accepted it by faith. We know we did nothing, any kind of thing that would make us, Lord God, to earn any of this, that we could have done anything. We know that that's not true. We know we all got the whole thing free, but we're going to take advantage of it. Hallelujah. We're going to enjoy this blessing of the life of God and bless others with it in the name of Jesus. And we just thank You today. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord God. Father, I thank You that You're working in us. Lord God, Lord, teach us and bring understanding to us, Lord God, for we're not always on our own case, always looking at ourselves and our shortcomings, as Lord God is letting You work Your glory through us. Father, Your desire is to manifest Your Spirit through each one that's here today. You desire to, for You saved them. You delivered them. You put Your Holy Ghost in them. You filled them with the Holy Spirit. And I thank You, Lord God, the good work that You have started in them, You will bring to completion, Lord God. Lord, we know we miss it and get in the flesh, but Lord God, You made provision for that. If we miss it, we confess our sin. You're faithful and just to forgive. We can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Lord God, You have provided for us to stay on the top. Hallelujah. And I thank You, Father. It's working. It's working. It's working in us. Hallelujah. We're growing up. We're growing. We're developing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank You that love's dominating us. It's ruling covering over us in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by this Holy Spirit. And our nature is to love. And we walk in it, Lord God. Lord, that the gifts and manifestation of the Holy Spirit be great blessing to people and to the ones who are operating in it, Father, so Jesus Christ is magnified and glorified and lifted up. And today I thank you, Father, for the healing power of God. I thank you that's here right now in this room in the name of Jesus. I thank you healing power is working in bodies today in the name of Jesus. Sickness and disease is going in the name of Jesus. I thank you healing is working, Lord God. Lord, you said in your word, one of the ways, Lord God, that we minister, we can lay hands on the sick. But also, Father, just as the word of God says concerning the centurion, you spoke the word. Hallelujah. And he went his way, and Lord God, his servant was healed. And just like that today, the word healing right now in the name of Jesus. The word is working and healing in Jesus' name, being a healing and cures to bodies. I thank you. People are amending today. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. I want you to do this. I want you to say this after me. If you have any kind of ailment or sickness in your body, now you're saying this. Talk to your body. Talk to your body. Learn to talk. You know, this is what James said. James said, if you can keep your tongue, he said, you can control the whole body. That's what he said.
Amen, that's right.
The whole body. See, and use your tongue and your body. Tell your body. Tell your body, body, you're amending in the name of Jesus. You're getting well. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in me. And it's making alive my mortal body. Resurrection is working in me. The life of God is working in me. My body's being made well. And strong. Whole. My mind is good in the name of Jesus. Because I have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. My mind is not weak nor feeble. If Jesus doesn't come, I'll go to my grave with a good mind. My mind is clear. My mind is whole. Hallelujah. Because I have the mind God gave me. And it's working great. In Jesus' name. Amen.